the Speak It podcast. I'm John Wilson, Fire and Life Safety America, or FLSA. Hope you guys are doing awesome today, and we have an awesome show for you today. Josh Jenkins of the Hagen Law Group is back, and we talk the Masters champion, Patrick Reed. We also talk the NHL, the Predators, what they're up against with the Avalanche, the Colorado Avalanche, starting this Thursday. We talk a little NFL draft and the Titans. What are their needs? What are they expecting to draft? Really excited about our conversation with him. If you guys have any construction-related legal needs, any non-compete type of stuff, or any liens, collections, starting a business, give Josh and Mary Beth Hagen a call. Mr. Josh Jenkins there, right here in Murfreesboro. It's always fun to talk to him. We had an awesome event last Friday at Fire and Life Safety America here in Nashville. You guys know we started the business really, this location almost 3 years ago. And as a team, we've really done well in this market. Had a lot of clients show up, had a lot of vendors show up and support us, gave away prizes that I've been helping deliver, put a lot of smiles on people's faces. We've had TV, sound bars, awesome tool sets, some really cool Tennessee Titan hard hats were given out, were some prizes from vendors, and just had a great event. And guess who? Who catered this event? Peg Leg Porker. I think they met a lot of customers after they catered this event. The pulled pork was there, macaroni and cheese, the baked beans. Had somebody tell me today they don't usually eat like baked beans, but they absolutely love these smoked beans. Had coleslaw, had some awesome banana pudding. You guys know it. I'm trying to lose some weight for the end of this month. Got a little beach trip with the family. And so I jumped off that a little bit, had some banana pudding, and just had an awesome amount of food. A lot of people got some leftovers and just enjoyed that. We're going to try to talk to Carrie and Peg Leg, see if we can't do like a rooftop bar conversation highlighting Peg Leg and just have some conversations overlooking the skyline. So be on the lookout for that. We'll reach out to Carrie and be awesome pub for them. Not like they need it, but hopefully we can have some good conversations with them and maybe a guest host over there. So once again, guys, we are brought to you by David Pledge, Ram Tool. You need to give him a call, 615-767-0553. That's 615-767-0553. He brought in Milwaukee. Milwaukee had a booth at our in our warehouse right there by the food. Showed all kinds of tools that they had on showcase for all of our customers. They really enjoyed it. Had some demos there. It was really neat. And Milwaukee helped us with some giveaways, too, for clients. And people just walked away with some really awesome toolboxes with Milwaukee, a couple impact drills, and a hammer drill. Really awesome to have them. Blaine, we need to reach out to David and Blaine there at Milwaukee, and also David Pledge of Ram Tool. So, guys, I appreciate you guys for coming, clients and customers. I hope you had a great time. We just really appreciate you guys and how much you support us around the Nashville area. And hopefully you guys have had an awesome experience with Fire and Life Safety here in Nashville, Murfreesboro, Hermitage, Clarksville, all over. It was just a great event, and appreciate everybody from the vendors and everybody that showed up. So up next is our conversation with Josh Jenkins. We have an awesome conversation about the Masters and everything, the Predators. Josh went to the Masters last year. It really takes us and kind of walks us through what's it like going to Augusta National. Take a listen to that and share this with your friends. We're coming up on getting really close to our 1,000 download here in the next couple episodes. And we're going to be looking for a winner here to give it a prize. So we'll be looking to that. So be listening in. If you share our podcast, comment on something in the podcast, we're going to have an awesome prize for you guys once we get to that 1,000 download. We are having people download all over. Just had a new listen in Washington, Canada, and Mexico. Once again, not sure what's going on there, but I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. Get something out of the Nashville market, the sports market, and something about Fire and Life Safety. Candace is going to be back next couple days. We're going to talk some more fire protection and insurance conversations. Maybe you're a business owner, you get something out of that. Maybe you're overseeing your property and get something out of the fire protection piece. So be on the lookout for that. And welcome to the Speak It podcast. I'm right here with Josh Jenkins of the Hagen Law Group. Buddy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I was excited to get a call back after last time. I wasn't sure I'd get one.
That's right. Hey, we've got, I think you're the second most listened downloads as far as the podcast goes, so pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I'm no peg leg porker, but I mean, maybe a good second, a good substitute.
That's right. You got him edged a little bit. So, but speaking of peg leg porker, how about the event we had last week, Friday, at our office? Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite. Yeah, peg leg porker was amazing. I mean, you didn't do it justice even describing. That was some good barbecue.
You're trying to tee it up and tell everybody how tasty it is and how moist it is and all that stuff. But you have to try it for yourself.
You do. It was very good. And I was excited to try it after listening to last week's episode with Carrie, you know, talking about how he got into it in Memphis in May and just everything. You know, I like to try to dabble in smoking at the house, but nothing comes close to anything like this guy's putting out.
We'll be back there putting some chips on to just start turning red. We think about it. This really isn't. This may taste good, but this ain't Carrie. This ain't peg leg.
No, right.
Which is okay. You got to start from somewhere, right?
Exactly.
We'll have to touch base with him and Jamie and their team to see if we can do like a rooftop bar podcast. You know, talking about national topics, but also, you know, talking about peg leg.
I like that.
He's got his own little podcast.
Maybe a crossover.
Maybe. His is ours. A little bit more kid-friendly versus his, and he'll let you know that. His is like kind of like the guys out by the campfire.
But, yeah.
Yes, we did cater peg leg porker at our event last week. Josh and the Hagen Law Group did provide a prize, and somebody did win. It was Jack Brown's.
Yep.
So Jack Brown restaurant gift card. We have one in Murfreesboro and one in Germantown.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been lately?
I have, let's see, it's been a few weeks, but when they first opened here in Murfreesboro, we were pretty regulars. I've got a five-year-old at home that loves Jack Brown's, so that's his place. It's either Toots or it's Jack Brown's, and we got to go.
Well, I haven't been to Jack Brown's here, which is a shame, because I used to go to the one in Germantown all the time, so we appreciate that. We've done the stats. It was about 70 to 80 people came through. A lot of people last minute couldn't come, which is great, because we ordered enough food for, say, 100 people. So a lot of people got to take some home, and a lot of people had a good time. It was a good networking event. We got to see a lot of clients of our company. We've been here just shy of 3 years, and a lot of people came from all over Nashville, Murfreesboro, Hermitage, things like that. So it was a great event. Thank you for helping sponsor that. It was a lot
of
fun.
Absolutely, it was.
And Peg Leg showed up and showed out. I think they gained a lot of customers after Friday.
Absolutely.
So people really enjoyed that. So, but people want to hear a little bit about, with you and I, the Masters, NHL, Titans draft talk, and that's what we're going to give them today.
Let's do it.
So show up and show out. Well, you showed up. Won't you show out again? We had some good conversations. So Patrick Reed won the Masters yesterday, and first off for me, I've never heard of Patrick Reed.
Me either.
So a lot of the golfing community hasn't. So, but Josh Jenkins here, you went to the Masters last year. Can you paint a picture a little bit about what it's about? I hear the greens, the fairways, everything is so well groomed. Also, the hills are higher than you can see, you know, on TV. Tell us about the Masters. Let's talk about the last few holes real quick.
Yeah, it really is. You know, Jim Nantz comes on and, you know, talks about it's a tradition like any what is this, a tradition?
Like anything else. Something like that.
Yeah, you know.
It's almost heavenly, right?
Yeah. But it really is. I mean, I am not an avid PGA watcher. I follow golf because I like to play. You know, I watch the U.S. Open and, you know, the British Open and keep track. I do follow. But the Masters was just one of my bucket list sporting events. You know, as a sporting fan, you want to go to like a Stanley Cup playoff game. You want to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Golf,
you
want to go to the Masters.
That's where I would want to go.
And so, you know, quick story. You know, my wife and I, we were coming back from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina a few years back. And I was like, well, let's just drive down through Augusta and we'll come back that way. And we'll stop just see if I can see the place.
But sure.
You can't get in.
How far after this big heavenly gate did you get past?
Yeah, I'd be like, you can't even see. You can see where everybody parks.
Oh,
and if you look
man.
Really close, you can see an entryway. And that's it.
Well, that's good to know because I would have done something just like that.
And it's right downtown. I mean, it is down the street from a Hooters, which...
Didn't know that.
Apparently, that's where John Daly goes. He doesn't make the cut for the Masters, so he sets up in the Hooters parking lot.
Not quite peg leg.
That's another tradition. <It'll work. laughs> So we show up, and my buddy of mine was lucky enough to get selected out of the raffle that they do online for tickets. And so you sign up in June, and if your name gets drawn, you get the privilege to buy Masters tickets. So he got picked for the Tuesday practice round last year, and he could buy up to 4 tickets. So he asked me if I wanted to go, and I was like, of course I want to go.
How much does it range for?
It really wasn't bad. I think it was $65 a ticket is what we paid for practice round.
And you get in when, and when do you have to leave?
You get in, they open the crack of dawn.
Okay.
And then you just leave at dark, essentially. When they stop practicing is when you leave.
That's so worth it.
It was absolutely worth it.
I just asked that question for the listeners,
Absolutely worth it. And it really is. It just has this feeling of actually being there.
Uh-huh.
We had perfect weather last year. It rained the day before and the day after, but it was about 75 degrees, nothing but sunshine. And you just walk in and you're like a kid in a candy store. You walk through, as you come down the gate that we entered, you come right up. I think it was, we're right at the green for hole number 13, I think. So right around Amen Corner. And
okay.
You just walk into it.
Yeah.
And just to walk around and see the grass, it's like walking on carpet.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go.
No blade out of place.
Immaculate.
That is crazy.
How they do that, but you're right. The hills, you can't see all those undulations on the television. It is just insane. But it's just fun because on the practice rounds, no day can you take in a cell phone. You can't take any electronics, anything like that. But on practice rounds, you can take in a camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to get some pictures and do stuff like that. And the players are all a little more relaxed. And so...
So no selfies, even on the practice rounds?
On the practice rounds, you can take a camera, no selfie.
Look at that.
So
seriously.
It'd be an awkward selfie, but theoretically, I guess
But still, that's just, you can't be tweeting that, I'm right here with Sergio or whoever, or Josh Jenkins,
But, it was nice. You don't hear anybody's cell phone ringing. Nobody's talking on the cell phone. Everybody's watching. The players are a little more relaxed in the practice round, a little bit more engaged. They have a tradition, and I think it's hole number 16 that goes over the water. And they'll, after they take a couple of shots, they all take a ball and skip it across
par
the water.
Three, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
So it's just, and you can't really see it there on TV, but it's just, there's a hill, and people just, it's packed with people just sitting watching these guys skip the ball across the water. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, so one of our vendors that sponsored the event, Victaulic, they help couplings, they do sprinkler heads, all this type of stuff, and or we get things like that from them, and they were going to be there, and he was going to set up a booth, and he said, last minute, I can't make it, something came up. So I found out where this guy is. He's at the Masters. I said, okay, you contributed. I appreciate that, but have fun at the Masters, which I was there. So, and I saw somebody I grew up with on Facebook that they went to the Masters. I'm so jealous. I probably wouldn't have been able to get away anyway, but it's just, and that's the only really golf tournament I watch now anyway.
Right.
With the toddlers, and if it's pretty like it is, I'm outside doing something. I can't be inside watching someone else play have their fun. So, but anyway.
Yeah, it is just one thing. If you ever get the opportunity to do it, whether you're a golf fan or not, just do it. You'd appreciate it just to go to a place like this. And one thing that amazed me is how cheap it is to eat at the Masters.
I've heard.
I've seen some articles here the last few days. I've shown my wife a picture last night. I saw of what $20 can get you at the Masters. And that's the truth. The beer was the most expensive thing on the menu. It was $4 or $5, depending on what you get. Like, the pimento cheese is like $1.50 a sandwich. It was cheap. For a professional sporting event, it is cheap. And the pimento cheese was amazing.
Well, speaking of the food, I did a Masters tournament party yesterday. And so my buddy, he had this table full of food, which was a lot of pimento cheese and all kinds of snacks. And each little snack had a different name by it, describing something in the Masters and everything like that. It was so cool. They had cupcakes for the kids with the little golf tees in it with the green on the top for the grass and everything. But that's awesome. Thanks for kind of working us through that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Patrick Reed. None of us, we hadn't heard of the guy. Looks like he played at Augusta State University or college.
Yeah, something like that.
And won two national championships, got kicked off the University of Georgia team.
Yeah, after his freshman year, I'm pretty sure.
Cheating or stealing or something like that. What do you know about him? Let's move through that because we've got to get to the Predators. Patrick Reed, he held on, made that last par putt to win it at the end. Good for him. But he's kind of the most hated player in golf right now, as I've listened to.
I think that might be a good description, or at least, you know, he's, you know, the most unknown, even amongst, like, the PGA professionals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading an article about him today. I think ESPN put it out that he's pretty much a loner on the course when he's practicing. He doesn't really socialize with anybody. He is a good golfer. I think he was a member of the Ryder Cup. I think that's where he's kind of been making his name over the last year or so. But, yeah, I mean, really odd stuff, you know, from family stuff. They said in the article his family was like 2 miles down the road watching, you know, but he didn't want them there. They didn't get invited. They had – his family showed up at the U.S. Open, I think, last year, and they had him – had his family removed.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really odd stuff. Now, obviously, this is an article that we don't know both sides what's going on.
Sure,
but it just
we don't.
Seems
– That's unfortunate, though, right?
Right, yeah.
We won't know all the details necessarily, but that is unfortunate.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd be so proud if my son or daughter – I don't have two sons, but still made it that far, and I can't get into – see them.
Yeah.
Paid their bills their whole life and that whole deal. Loved on them.
You're watching them on TV and they're literally 2 miles down the road.
I did hear that. They were in a restaurant or somewhere. They couldn't watch them. So that's kind of strange.
It is a little. And he was a little different watching. You know, not like the other guys. I was cheering. I wanted to see Ricky Fowler win. It would have been awesome to see Jordan Spieth pull off, you know, such an epic comeback. So I was rooting for him to fail.
He was killing it.
But. You know, he ultimately did win. But, you know, there were comments about how subdued the celebration was. I think it's probably just sounds like a tribute to his, how he is. You know, just kind of like a loner.
You know, if this was any other sport, and it may come out, if this is any other sport, some people may be taking a Twitter about this or that from somebody's personality or whatever. And we don't know what goes behind the scenes and how they're treating each other in golf. But we'll see how that goes in the next 6 months to a year and how it goes. Does he win another major? Do people support him or whatever? Because it's a fraternity.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's happy. Not everybody can win every tournament.
Right.
So, but
this will, winning the Masters, you know, can really amplify the spotlight. So we'll see what else comes out, if anything, or what it turns into down the road.
Yeah. Instant celebrity, though. He can play the Masters as long as he wants to the rest of his life, as long as he's physically able, and that's a pretty cool feat to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
So, no lottery drawings for him, so can I go watch the Masters. Let's jump over to the NHL and the Predators. These guys just won the President's Cup. They're killing it. They're just having a great year. Tell us about the President's Cup. People are asking, you know, what is the President's Cup? What does it even mean? So tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, it's just an award that the NHL gives out to the team with the best record in the NHL. So, you know, along with that, you know, obviously it's the first time the Predators have ever won the President's Cup. So it's a big accomplishment. I think they had 53 wins this year. That's the most franchise wins that they've had. I think they also set the record for the most points in the season. David Poile, I think, just set a record for the most wins, like their general manager.
For the Predators, or this is the NHL?
I'm not going to say it's NHL. I honestly did not see the clarification. For sure, I mean, he's always been with the Predators, so
sure,
it'd have
sure.
to be. I don't know if it's a personal record or an NHL record, but
they're just hot,
you know,
right now.
They've played really well this year, and you just hope that it translates into the postseason. I heard something the other day. They were talking. So, you know, there's this discussion that goes back and forth. Is winning the President's Cup a curse?
Sure.
Is it help? You know, what's the deal?
I was about to kind of interject. Like, oh, this is a good thing, but
there's a lot of pressure.
They want to win those final two games that they lost. last year.
Yes.
It means nothing. It's kind of like, forget the season if they didn't win. Get that banner, right?
Right.
So that's a good point you brought up.
And, well, there's two things to that. So, number one, what they said the other day, so it guarantees you home ice throughout the playoffs. So if you win every home game, you win the Stanley Cup. Now, obviously, they'd be taking every series to seven games. You don't want to do
that. Yeah.
But if you did and you win every home game, you're Stanley Cup champion. So that's a big deal, especially for Smashville. I mean,
yeah,
that is an instant, game changer.
Like I would say playing home field advantage,
yeah,
home rink advantage.
Home ice advantage, yeah. I mean, playing in Bridgestone is just a whole nother level compared to anything else in the NHL. And that, I mean, that everybody says that.
You can tell on TV. Well, I don't think we talked about it, but it's all the Vanderbilt, Tennessee Titans, Tennessee Vol players or fans that want to get into something else. They want to win.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're fans of the Predators, too. They get so excited. Man, on TV, that place is rocking. Camera shaking and everything. So they're playing the Colorado Avalanche.
Yep.
Listen today on the radio and doing some research. They've beaten them 10 times in a row. So people are, hey, we should just walk or skate right through this, whatever you want to call it. Walk right through the Avalanche, which is not necessarily the case, but you think it's going to be pretty easy? And are you going to a playoff game?
If I can get my hands on some tickets, I'd like to go to a playoff game. I don't know if I will be able to, but if anybody out there listening has tickets and wants to send them, like a Speak It podcast from inside Bridgestone, we could do that.
There you go.
I don't know. The Predators, they are playing very well. They kind of faltered here towards the end, but they seem to always find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kind of picking them to win in five games. I think that's probably right. Colorado wasn't very good last year. They've made it to the playoffs this year. I think, like you said, they beat them 10 times in a row. They beat them 4 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think only one of those is really close.
Will they do 2 here, 2 there, and come back?
Yeah, okay. If necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, so first 2 are in Smashville, so hopefully they'll go to Colorado with the 2-0 lead. I think that they probably do win. But Colorado is in this year is in Nashville's spot last year. Nashville come in as the 8th seed and was playing, played Chicago, who everyone just picked to just roll right over Nashville. And then Nashville plays for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So you just never can tell.
It's kind of like NCAA tournament. I never figured. They've been in the playoffs a lot lately. But last year they caught some steam. And looking like this year that Avalanche got some rookies that have helped propel them to this point and get them to the playoffs too. So tell us about this catfish. People, if they're watching on TV or they go to a game and they see this catfish or multiple catfish thrown onto the rink, what the heck is that? And why? And then when do they throw it on the ice?
Yeah.
Help us with that. it's kind of catfish, man.
It is kind of like a non-tradition. There's not really any, set time when they do it. It's, maybe when the Predators, might need a spark. Catfish Jake, did it in Pittsburgh last year. Kind of gave him a spark. Or when they've done something big. But it kind of spurs from the Red Wings. I think it started back in the 50s. Their fans started throwing squid onto the ice.
I see. I kind of knew about that.
And they just kind of do it, whether they make a big play or they need a spark or something like that. So I think it just kind of started, early 2000s, I think, around 2000, 2003, somewhere around in there. I guess they just wanted something semi,
make their own
representative
thing
of Nashville. And so people just started throwing catfish out there.
I have to dig in a little bit deeper but my goodness, do they take out the fillets before they throw the catfish out there? I know they take out the entrails and such, but do they take out the fillets? Because,
they looked like a whole catfish out there to me, so I don't.
I put them back in the tank. I was listening to the radio today, too, and it looks like somebody was bringing a catfish tank today, so maybe they'll have some catfish floating around in the concourse when you come in. So not that they'll draw from that tank to throw them out there, but And people get excited when that catfish.
Oh, yeah.
Where, how far do they throw the catfish? Somebody walk up to the glass and flip it over. They sling it from all the way
up. You know, I think they just have a competition, you know, to see how high up somebody could go and still make it onto the ice.
No way.
I wish they would.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that would be great.
No, I you'd probably have to get kind
big
of close
old 80 pound
to throw the
cat out there. But some people don't know about it. Look, I've been here for 11 years, and I only knew about the catfish last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of stuff that takes up my time. So, I just wanted to talk to the listeners about the catfish and what the heck is going on with that.
Well, it's
so
real funny. Last week, the Predators got hosed on a call, and a goal was waved off, and it kept them from clinching the President's Cup for, like, another game or something.
I did see that.
And so, an angry fan mailed two catfish to the NHL in Toronto, because that's the office that made the call. But she did not put any ice in this thing and puts and sends it up there. But I saw that it cost her, I don't know, like $150 or something like that to do that. So, Mayor Briley showed up at her work and personally wrote her a check paying her back and thanking her for sending these catfish to Toronto. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh my gosh, that is pretty awesome. I bet it did stink. Traveled a few states to get there.
Customs. She said she called customs to make sure there'd be no issue with it going through. So, like, she really thought through.
They're like, I guess not. As long as it's not anthrax, right?
Oh, gosh.
But, and then you said Mayor Briley.
Yeah.
And people don't know. There's not a lot of people that know who Mayor Briley is. We talked about on a couple episodes on the start of this podcast that Megan Berry is no longer the mayor of Nashville.
Right.
And so the interim vice mayor, David Briley?
Yes, I think that's right. I think he was the vice mayor, yeah.
It took over just a few weeks ago. So he said Mayor Briley, so that's good you said that. I just want to make a point to mention that there is a new mayor in town. So let's switch over to, whether it's good or bad, let's switch over to Tennessee Titans. And the draft is coming up in just 2 or 3 weeks. It's happened in Chicago lately. Not sure where that is. Does it show where that is? We'll look. We can talk about that later. But draft's coming up. Tennessee Titans, we need them to get a good draft pick. I think what they're at pick 17 or 18. Let's look at that real quick. They are taking their first pick.
25.
Yep, 25. And first thing I'm looking at, I think the SEC country picked Harold Landry, defensive end of Boston College. What are you seeing? They're needing. We talked about linebackers and defensive ends. What do you think?
Yeah, so I would probably, and obviously I'm no expert, but I would lean probably towards them taking a linebacker. I think they've got pretty good play out of their defensive ends, and depending on which way they're going, defensively, you know, they lost Avery Williams into free agency. They didn't re-sign him, so they need somebody. I've heard folks talking about the defensive end from Boston College and then one from University of Texas San Antonio, but both of them have, you know, their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
I think the UTSA defensive end's a little smaller, they say, so they're worried about him. And then the production from the guy in Boston College kind of has fallen off, and I think there's some questions about his, I would say, work ethic, about completing a play or you know, his want to. So I would probably guess we're going to go linebacker. One that I've seen multiple websites and pundits talk about them picking is Rashawn Evans out of Alabama. Which you probably can't go wrong with picking somebody off of Alabama's defense.
You wouldn't think. And they're always pretty good. How well do they transition? Hey, it's not always guaranteed. Not, you know, we're looking at right after this one thing is showing the New Orleans Saints picking up Arden Key of LSU. Have you heard about Arden Key?
No.
At the start of the season, at the end of last season, he was a potential first pick of the whole draft. Defensive end, linebacker, just a freak. And kind of got kicked off the team or got out of football. He's just having some troubles. He'll probably sneak into the first round, and whatever general manager picks him up, get more bang for their buck by not paying as much. But can he get his head together? How are his interviews going right now? Will he last to 27, which I'm showing right here, 25? Mm-hmm. Titans, if I don't know if they're interviewing him, talking to him, but he's a freak on the football field. How is he off the field? These kids are still 20, 21 years old.
Yeah.
When they get, if they're drafted in the first five picks. You're talking close to a $30 million contract right off the bat. Right off the bat, not all that guaranteed, but that's a lot of money for somebody that young and they've never lived life, no experience. He's one to look for. He'll be probably at the end of the drive of the first round. So we've mentioned three or four people. I think Vrabel, like you're kind of hinting at, get his mark, get him a talented somebody he can build off of.
Yeah.
And but love to see them pick somebody good that can stick and not be a bust.
I hope so. I would tend to think that the way John Robinson picks, and given the Titans' history of taking risks on people, that they might shy away from somebody like that. You know,
that's a great point.
You know, they did the whole Pac-Man Jones experience when Jeff Fisher was here, and then they tried, Dorial Green Beckham, who was out for like a year, and that didn't pan out. So they might be a bit more hesitant to do something. But, you know, they've signed quite a few offensive linemen, signed a defensive lineman this week.
Benny Logan out of LSU, four- or five-year vet, yep.
Who, from what I saw, could be a solid, run-stopping defensive tackle, but they really need to do something with the secondary. I think they've got some decent places or spots. Obviously, we talked about Kevin Byard.
Yeah,
absolutely,
that's right.
A highlight in the secondary, but adding a good coverage linebacker or two, and then, they brought in Butler, I think, from New England.
Yeah, yeah.
So that should help. So I'm interested to see what happens with the secondary, but I think that's where they could really use some work.
Yeah, Malcolm Butler of the New England Patriots fought his way through JUCO, a small college in Alabama, undrafted free agent, and just became a star. And he just got paid by the Tennessee Titans. You know, he was suspended for the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, yeah.
Can you believe that? Obviously, we say that. We don't know what happened. So we may believe it if we knew what happened beyond with Bill Belichick and such. But he's a talent that may give them a little bit of an edge. And you talked about Byard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was listening to Blaine Bishop today, former Titans guy. He said that he was a fourth-round grade. This cat played like first round, top 10 draft pick, interceptions and everything. You just don't know, but like you're hinting at it as well, get the more seasoned guy, the guy that's using his wisdom, not a wild card, mm-hmm. even if you have to get them later in the round, get their sure picks that you can groom, make sure they're going to play, and not have to kick them off the team.
Yeah, I think
waste a draft pick for something like that.
It's hard enough evaluating talent and picking somebody that's going to last, to go and say, well, maybe this guy will pan out. Let's, waste a draft pick on him.
Yeah, for
anything. Maybe you can get him, sign him as an unrestricted free agent or something afterwards, or undrafted free agent, and, try then. But I don't know about waste. There's too much good talent to waste a draft pick.
That is a good point. Maybe they're an inch shorter, but they always go to class. They're not having criminal records or anything like that. And they may be in the league for 15 years. This other guy's a walker. Will he mm-hmm. stay? Will he get arrested? Will they embarrass me?
Right.
You're putting your name on that pick and everything like that. So we've done a pretty good rundown on sports from the Masters, NHL, and the Tennessee Titans. Let's jump over to some legal activity with you guys.
Yeah.
You guys have kind of got a client here. We got a new distillery kind of coming to town. Sazerac, why don't you talk about that? Talk about who they are, what they're trying to do in Murfreesboro, and if you can, kind of how you support them right now to kind of end on a legal point.
Sure, yeah. Sazerac, I think it's one of the largest distillers in North America. It's a family-owned company.
Okay.
They own brands like Buffalo Trace that everybody's probably heard of. If you're into bourbon, I'm a pretty big bourbon enthusiast. So,
okay.
This project's near and dear to my heart. Mary Beth got the lead on this one, but I help out when I can. Essentially there's a really nice spot of land, I guess it's in northern Rutherford County, that they're looking at. They want to make a distillery in the lines with Buffalo Trace, a really nice place. It will be a new product, a new Tennessee-style whiskey, so it'll go through the charcoal filtering process,
yeah.
The Lincoln County process, they
sure.
call it. And so right now, as far as legal aspect, we're working with them to help get property rezoned and things like that. It is currently zoned residential, and so we're looking at getting that changed. There are some good indicators that commercial use is perfect for this spot.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as plans for roadage and a possible interstate exit down the road.
And what is that off of 840? Where is that now?
It is off of Florence Road.
Okay, Florence Road and kind of Broad Street.
Over in the Blackman High School area, side of town. So you're looking at, it's past, if you're traveling on 24 to Nashville, past 840.
Get off of Medical Center.
No, that area.
Gotcha, okay.
And so it, the distillers are Lisa Henley and John Lunn, and they've were previously with George Dickel.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is their recipe. This is one that they've developed, and I think that they have started distilling, hoping to get in the new facility as long as the rezoning goes okay, get in the new facility, get that thing built, and get back to business as usual. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, when is that decision coming for if the county or city is saying, hey, it's A-okay to get this thing going, owners, build your facility, start, distilling, getting out here saying, well, what's the time frame?
The public hearing, first reading is this week.
Okay.
For the city council to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to go through two readings. And then once that happens, then they're good to go to start construction. And I don't know off top of the head what the time frame is as far as construction facilities. But it is a really nice spot of land. It's got its own 3-acre, I think, lake on this piece of property that's spring fed. Hoping to be able to incorporate that water usage into production of the whiskey.
That is great. Kind of like just like George Dickel and what is the other one?
Jack Daniels.
I was going to say Jack Lynch, but I was going to say Lynchburg. Jack Daniels. We won't edit that. So
But this is good. It goes beyond just whiskey and everything else. I mean, it's good for Rutherford County. It's good for Murfreesboro. This is going to be a product that eventually will go probably global.
Sure.
But at least nationwide. And Murfreesboro is going to be on every single bottle. So the revenue, for Rutherford County, from tourism, from sales, from just sales tax for this, it could be a game changer. And Rutherford County spends the largest portion of their budget on schools.
Yeah.
And so that can be a game changer as far as facilities, and everything for education.
I'm not a bourbon guy just because for whatever reason, but I'd love to tour the place, try the stuff, and help, talk about it. Because like you said, it's neat to have people come in for a new type of business. And my buddy's company's building the new building for Steel Barrel Brewery, just here in Murfreesboro as well. And so it's like, Jack Daniels has been around for so long. So it's George Dickel. They have to start at some point.
Yeah.
And that's really cool, that entrepreneurial spirit of these people making their own thing. And it's just really cool. It's cool that you guys are helping support that. So hopefully, sooner than later, we can start moving the dirt with some bulldozers and such and get some land sold and all that stuff. So that's pretty neat.
It's good for Middle Tennessee as well. We talked about that just a little bit. You touched on it just now, mentioned the Steel Barrel. This gives MTSU another avenue for their fermentation sciences degree. If this thing gets approved and goes in, you'll have a distiller and this to-be-named distillery from Sazerac. You'll have Steel Barrel, so you have a brewery, and then you've got the guys that make Yoplait over here, so you got yogurt, you've got, dairy farmers, you've got just everything. So opportunities are endless for MTSU in Rutherford County.
Yeah, it is really cool. Man, that's neat. So maybe in, say, this week and maybe the next few weeks they make a decision. So maybe we have a building up year and a half, depending on how they build it and everything. So we'll be on the lookout for that. And then maybe, just maybe, we can have the owners on.
Yeah.
You work on that, okay?
For sure we can talk to the distillers. That's where the action's at.
That's
coming
right
up with the recipe and making your own charcoal. And that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
The process.
I've toured both the George Dickel and Jack Daniels and had a networking event and a private tour at Jack Daniels. And it's just so neat. The art and the science behind it and the logistics of the operations of step one, what do we do and how much are we burning? Where do we get our wood from and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So, Peg Leg, they use the wood that they use to distill and provide the flavors, what they actually cook with, which is so cool. And I love to market that little tidbit. So But we've talked about a lot. Once again, all the sports. Hey, our event last week, that lunch was awesome.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
Great.
70 to 80 people there. Touched the kind of the whole city. It had a lot of people that couldn't show up the last second. You were one of the vendors, so we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Masters. We're going to learn more about Patrick Reed. How's he going to do? You and I'll find out the next few weeks. Is he going to take a week off? Is he going to have that chip on his shoulder? People are going to talk nice about him. What's he going to do? And will his family come together a little bit? We hope. We've got kids.
Oh, yeah.
NHL. Good luck to the Predators. They start when?
Thursday night.
Thursday night. That was quick. You know.
On the schedule, yeah.
You're going to, hey, we're both going to market this. We're going to ask Josh, hey, can we help Josh get some tickets, okay?
Yeah, somebody, please. Josh and his 5-year-old want to go see a game.
And the Tennessee Titans, probably going to get a defensive end, linebacker. Let's make sure and hope they get somebody that's mature, that will play. We don't want another Pac-Man Jones or somebody else that just brings negative attention to
right.
the city.
We're too close now.
Yeah, you know what? Taylor Lewan said something the last couple days that the Predators are essentially pulling the city along.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just a sexy team. We talk about the Predators and, like you said, the environment inside mm-hmm. Bridgestone, and he wants that. So, I mean, it takes 55 players, though, and they got to pick the right one. So, but I think, hey, they've made it to the playoffs. I tell you what, if Tom Brady wasn't there.
Yeah.
Maybe right. they could have beat them. So,
so real quick, before we move from the Titans.
Yes.
Quick thoughts on the new uniforms. Did you see the new uniforms?
I did.
What'd
you think?
I really liked the helmet, the matte navy blue. I really liked it. And then at first, I wasn't so sure because I did see the leaked picture and I was like, oh no, this isn't. But, you know, I watched the video when they came out on Broadway. They did the big unveiling. I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not a crazy fan of the numbers, but I think they'll grow on me.
Do they have two-color helmets now?
I think just the – they probably will use the white some, but it's just primarily that blue. Matte blue.
A couple of our gifts last week were given by a vendor. We had two really awesome Tennessee Titan hard hats.
Yeah.
That were so sharp. And we were wondering, was that the new script for the white with the lines going over top? So – I liked them.
Yeah.
They're trying to change some stuff up.
Right.
I mean, their jerseys, to me, kind of always have this, like, CFL look to it. They're still so, in my opinion, so new.
Yeah.
And so the tweaking, you know, I like that navy blue. You know, I like the helmets and everything. So.
Well, last time they changed their uniforms, they went to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
99. So let's see what happens this year.
Hey, Mariota's got to throw more touchdowns, and we got to get some more picks on the other side of the ball, too. And then we're wrapped up with the new Tennessee whiskey coming up, the Sazerac Company. It's going to be – the new name will be coming up sooner than later, right, in
yeah.
the distillery. So.
I think once approval gets going, you know, hopefully they'll have that online to announce.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I appreciate the talk, man. We're going to have you on again.
Always fun.
This was a lot of fun. People enjoy your conversations, man. There's a lot of downloads for your conversations. So we will talk to you in a couple weeks, okay?
All right. Sounds good, John. Thanks, Blake.
Thanks.